I thought it time to go back, to come back to the table of the Lord this morning. Some call it the communion table. Others rightly call it the Eucharist, but wrongly misunderstand it. There's a passage in the Gospel of Luke where it's at the Last Supper, and it says in the 17th verse, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." In the 17th verse, underline the word "gave thanks." The 19th verse says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you." This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, having identified the activity with the title in this message, we should have prepared a cup of wine this morning. I don't have wine, so water will suffice, and broken bread. These are but symbols. That is the cup and the bread. When we go to 1 Corinthians, Paul is recounting that night where Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord, the communion table, the Eucharist. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the word from which we get the word Eucharist is used. It comes in various forms. The meaning is to give thanks, thanksgiving. If we were raised as children, we were taught when we were given something or when we received something to say thank you. And at this table, these symbols, the cup and the bread, are to bring into remembrance what we have received of Jesus Christ. Now the cup of wine. Jesus said it symbolized his blood. We understand that the life of the soul is in the blood. Therefore, the blood symbolizes the life. The life of the Son of God, of Jesus, God our helper, who gave his life for us. Likewise, the bread, symbol of his flesh, who gave his body for us. Now, those who call this the Eucharist properly call it, it is a Thanksgiving. Why a Thanksgiving? Because we remember what Christ has done. It is not some mystical transubstantiation of the wine into the literal blood. It is not some transubstantiation mysticism where the bread is literally turned to the flesh of Christ. His blood, when he instituted this, was still in his body. His flesh was still on his bones. These are symbols. It is out of heathen paganism, where their priests had this supposed oracular power to literally transform things. That's crap, folks. And the traditionalists who call this the Eucharist and practice that word of oracular transubstantiation do not I'm searching for words. Do not properly discern nor teach what Christ at this table was calling us to remembrance for. It says in the 27th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself. Here's the key verse, not discerning the Lord's body. Many gloss over this word in the 27th verse, unworthily, and the 29th verse, unworthily. It's an adverb. Adverbs modify verbs. It's the manner of partaking, and when we properly discern what Christ has done, when we examine as an assayer might examine a rock to find if there's real gold in it, we examine what at this table, what Christ has done. And the best description of what Christ has done is found in the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Christ was born, in the 53rd chapter. He says, King James translation, who has believed our report? We have oftentimes properly translated this verse, wherein it says, who has amened our report? Who has put no doubt in our report? And what's that report? Fourth verse, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Sixth verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. Wonderful description of all mankind, all of us. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. If we continued and looked at that fifth verse, wherein it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, shalom, the word means wholeness and wellness. The chastisement of our wholeness and wellness was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. King James, I'm sorry, you know, I use it. It is the translation which I think is the most honest, but, you know, it needs correction. If we went to the 16th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, that is completed, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. There's the translation of the fourth verse of Isaiah 53. It's not borne our griefs. It's borne our sicknesses our diseases, our infirmities, and carried our sorrows. The word there is pain. That is the pain from the sickness, disease, or infirmity. And the declaration is, with his stripes, I was healed. Well, some might say, well, Don, how come all aren't healed? When they come to understand, when they come to trust, when they come to run to that promise of God, wherein it says, with his stripes we were healed, when they come to amen, that is, have no doubt what Jesus did, when at this table we remember him, how come everybody's not healed? For the same reason, when it says that he took upon himself all our iniquities, sin continues. Jesus said, it is finished. The promise is already, and at the same time, not yet. Well, where does that put us? It puts us in the life of faith, wherein we have the sure confidence that God's word is more sure than anything we might encounter in this life. When we understand, when we discern, that the Lord laid on Jesus when he was on that cross at Calvary all our iniquities. We give thanks. Eucharist! In Jesus' name, take the cup, thanking God in Christ for what he has done, what is declared of him, what we have in remembrance of him when we take it in Jesus, thanking God. Likewise, the bread. I don't know what your physical condition is today, but we have this promise of God that as Jesus said, this is my body which is given for you, it was not required in the sacrifices that the animal in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that the animal be, if you will, tortured as Jesus was at the pillar, scourged, whipped. But when we discern what happened at that place, and when we discern that was done for our healing, wherein it is declared that with his stripes we were healed, and we take this bread, we do it with thanksgiving. We do it by faith. We do it by acting on this promise of God, being more real than any sickness, disease, or infirmity. And we take the cup. In faith. And we give thanksgiving to God. We have a little more understanding of that verse we spoke of this week. In everything, give thanks to God, for this is his will, that we give thanks in Christ Jesus. That's the place where God has put feathers, those who hang the body, their body on God's word, in Christ. This is God's will, that you give thanks. This is God's will concerning you. This is God's will concerning us, that we give thanks. Therein is the name properly used, the Eucharist, not in this mystery religion. In this doctrine of transubstantiation, but in the reality and fulfillment of the Word of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you say amen, that is, no doubt, to this report? And do it in praising God and giving thanks for what we have received of him in Christ Jesus.